America Weekend. I bless a man's soul, what's wrong with me? I'm reaching like a man on a fruit tree. My friends say I'm acting a wild little bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki. Our next guest is quite a legendary name when it comes to the history of television. His credits include the 1964 Tammy Show, which is considered one of the greatest rock films of all time, and for directing and producing the 1968 Elvis Comeback Special. He is co-author of a new book, Fade Up 26, The Movers and Shakers of Variety Television. It is quite a pleasure to say hello to Steve Binder. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ed. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is great to have you on. This book is a tremendous read. It is an homage to a very important and historic aspect of television. Tell us how the book came about.
Well, I was chairing a week of college professors from all over the United States for the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. They bring them each year a specific group of professors who kind of want to get updated on what's happening in Hollywood and television in general and so forth. And they meet a lot of the executives and talent in the business, and they go to the various studios and so forth. I was chairing this event, and after the event was over, this college professor from Indiana University of Pennsylvania, Mary Beth Liedman, came up to me and said, "You know, Mr. Binder, we should do a book together." I laughed it off. This is like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I thought about it, and she recontacted me, and together we decided, you know, the one area that is really neglected in terms of literature seemed to be the variety specials and awards and other variety shows. And trying to define variety to begin with is a task in itself. I contacted 25 of my peers who are all pretty, you know, famous producers and directors. Tommy Smothers, who from the Smothers Brothers, did our foreword. Mm-hmm. And he said, "You know, you may not know the names of all these people, other than maybe a Lorne Michaels who does Saturday Night Live, but you'll certainly know all the shows that they have been involved in producing and directing." And it turned out to be a phenomenal read. I mean, even for me, I couldn't put the book down when I started reading, transcribing all of the interviews with Professor Liedman. And lo and behold, if you're interested in television, period, you'd be interested, I think, in reading this book. I don't think there's ever been anything like it before on the market. In my particular case, I talked about a Petula Clark, Harry Belafonte special that I did right before I did the Elvis Comeback Special. Mm-hmm. And the controversy over breaking the color line in television in variety television in prime time, where they touched each other, and it became a big international story in Time and Newsweek magazines and so forth.
You know, it's amazing when you look at television sort of through that prism of not just as a program that people watch, how television kind of shapes not only pop culture, but kind of our societal mores. And think about that moment between Petula Clark and Harry Belafonte, how that changed the world. I mean, that was, when you think about it now in the perspective, how that was so quote unquote scandalous at the time, that was such a breakthrough, not only in television, but just how human relations and how we viewed race in this country developed from that time until now.
Absolutely. And I think television in general is a mirror of society. I mean, even right now, you know, there's a desire to kind of use television for its intended purpose, is to entertain and educate. And with all of, you know, I think certain people are doing it, certain stations and networks are doing it. But in general, there's a sense, even in our news divisions, of sort of dumbing down the public. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we have to really fear and avoid. So I think anything to upgrade the quality of television just reflects our general society, especially going into a national election in the next few months. You know, television is influencing people, you know, to the point of where, you know, we have created a society of sound bites instead of content. So I think it's really, really important that people do continue reading, you know, in public broadcasting. Mm-hmm. I think they do a great job in informing people And I think any story, whether you're doing a variety show or you're doing a drama, it needs a story. It needs a plot with a beginning, middle, and an end, not just superficial content.
It seems like the wave of new media throws the concept of substance to the side. I mean, look at Snapchat. What that inherently is simply just a brief 10 seconds of sometimes abject nothingness. And someone is throwing that out there, and that's considered new media. And the term television now has escaped outside of what the physical television is to YouTube and everything that we see online, Facebook Live, all of these other things that are developing. As we move towards that, and as the assumption of the attention span that it's shrinking, and it's not necessarily doing that, but when you have things like Snapchat and Facebook Live and YouTube, are we, you mentioned it before, dumbing ourselves down to the point where we feel that if it takes too long to tell a story that people won't pay attention to it?
Well, I think, you know, the great promise of communication is we talk to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I think television's promise, when I started in the business, there were only three networks. Fox hadn't even been invented yet.
Sure.
And there was no such thing as the Internet. There wasn't even iPhones and so forth. So television in its early days really set out its goal to educate, entertain, and inform the public. And because of its tremendous power and its tremendous growth over the years, the kind of specials that we used to do in the 60s and 70s and 80s, et cetera, which is to take one star, create a show from a blank piece of paper, try and personalize it, have a storyline that had an opening and a closing and a main theme, that's kind of disappeared into going back to early days of radio, where they used to have Major Bowles and the original amateur hour,
right,
where people would just get up and do their thing for 2.5 or 3 minutes, and off they'd go, instead of really, you know, developing and getting underneath the surface to tell a story. So I'm a great story believer. I'm a great believer in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the Internet is doing, it's developing talent that we probably would have never even developed under the old system. And what was interesting for me, even one of the contributors to the book, mm-hmm, is Vin DeBona, who built literally an empire with his America's Funniest Home,
sure,
Videos. It's been on the air for years and years. And, I mean, to think about who is this man behind this program that on the surface just looks like, you know, people with home video cameras looking for people to do pratfalls and get a pie in the face and trip over something. And comedy is always based, especially slapstick, on people laughing out of nervousness, saying, I'm glad it wasn't me. So, but if you look at Vin's background and you look at how he got in the business and how, you know, and his values and what he wanted to accomplish, et cetera, multiplied by 25 other producers and directors, I mean, I think it's really interesting that the one thing everybody brought to the table is the passion and the integrity of wanting to do something really, really of quality. Many, you know, that old adage of too many cooks in the soup. When, mm-hmm, I started doing television and my specials, I was given an assignment to do an Elvis Presley special, to do a Petula Clark special, a Diana Ross special, whatever. I went off to do it, and then I delivered the master. I don't remember any major conversations with executives at the networks or anything along the way other than good luck and hope you do a good job.
And that was it.
Today,
sure,
You've got, you know, too many cooks in the soup.
Right.
You've got, you know, when I did the Steve Allen show, which were my roots, and I directed and eventually produced and directed Steve for over 2 years, you know, it was a case of where the entire show that we did 5 nights a week, 90 minutes a night, the Westinghouse show in Hollywood, we had 2 writers today for a 50-minute show 5 nights a week. You know, if they were fortunate to win an Emmy, you see 30 to 40 people come out of the audience,
exactly,
to go accept their awards for writing. I mean, it just changed, and I'm hoping, you know, I'm optimistic, and I'm hoping for the future to open doors and make it even a better medium.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Vin DeBona and his show, America's Funniest Home Videos. When you look at that and you think now and you think, wait a minute, that's YouTube. It's simply taking average people and showing them in funny, unexpected moments. You know, the father inevitably with the wiffle ball getting shot right back at him, you know where, and stuff like that. And all of these people, including yourself, you're visionaries. The book itself is a tremendous read. Fade Up 26, The Movers and Shakers of Variety Television. It is published by Kendall Hunt. Anyone who enjoys the history and creativity of television and variety and looking to learn about the television industry from those who are so well equipped to talk about it will love this book. Well, Steve Binder, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity and do believe in it. I'm really happy that Mary Beth and myself did it.
Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. When Jim proposed to Judy, he gave her a very expensive engagement ring. But a few months later, Judy broke off the engagement. Since Jim spent so much money on the ring, he asked for it back, but Judy refused. She said it was a gift, and Jim had no legal right to take it away from her. So can Judy keep the ring? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Engagement gifts are given with the expectation that marriage will take place. Since Judy broke off the engagement, she must return the ring, or Jim can go to court to recover it. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here taking your child in for their shots. Maybe you're getting a flu shot. Maybe you're afraid of needles. Or maybe you're just putting off getting a booster shot because you think it's going to hurt. What to do? Trick the brain. Here's the biological science of it. Well, the truth, shots hurt. But there are ways to minimize the pain. Now, according to a recent study in the Journal of Pain and Symptom Management, before you're stuck with a needle, ask the nurse to apply firm pressure to the injection site for about 10 seconds. The shot will hurt about one-third less. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, it has to do with competing brain pathways. The pinch pressure tricks the brain and it sort of misses the sharp signal. Or maybe it's just as simple as the pinch hurts more than the shot. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.